Welcome to the Rugby Pod World Cup Media Round. It was an epic in Paris. We hear from the Irish camp as Andy Farrell's side took a firm grip on Pool A. We also hear from the Springboks as they react to their first loss in this year's tournament. That result didn't do Scotland any favours, but they did get the bonus point against Tonga to stay in the race with the top two ranked sides in the world. Gregor Townsend's men now need bonus point wins over Romania and Ireland, and need to stop Ireland from getting a bonus point to progress through to the quarterfinals. And Eddie, are you okay? It's chaos and carnage for Australia as Gareth Anscombe leads a clinical Wales victory. The Wallabies' loss means, for the first time, Australia will not make it out of their pool at the Rugby World Cup. We hear from the Wales camp as they zone in on the knockout stages now. We hear from Eddie Jones about what went wrong, and he answers questions about the rumours that he's already been interviewing for the Japan head coaching role.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth, plus view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Eddie, are you still fully committed to this Australian project?
Yeah, 100%.
How? Why? Do you feel that way?
I came back to Australia to try to help. At the moment, I'm not giving much help, am I? But that doesn't mean my commitment to help them has changed. You know, I'm a proud Australian. I hate to see Australian rugby do as poorly as we've been doing, particularly under my reign. Came back to want to try to help, but there's not only the Wallabies we've got to improve. We've got to improve the whole system of Australian rugby, and that's not an excuse. But yeah, you know, we've got to have a really good look at ourselves and see what we've got to do to improve the way we're going about our rugby.
Sorry, Eddie, just to go through it and then move on from it. Did you do a job interview with Japanese rugby a couple of weeks before the World Cup? And if so, what was the thinking?
I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Eddie, the worst World Cup defeat, by statistics anyhow. Can you explain why you think you are the best person to continue leading the Wallabies forward?
Well, that's not my judgment, mate. That's the judgment of Rugby Australia.
Are you able to explain why you think you are the right person to continue?
I think I've got the ability to turn things around. You know, I was hoping we'd be able to do it by now, but we haven't been able to. And as I said, I take full responsibility for it. I haven't done a good enough job. And I'm bloody disappointed about that, mate.
Eddie, do you think that you got the selection wrong, like in terms of the inexperience that the players had out there?
Well, I was put in this job to turn Australia around. And I don't think I could have done it with the players that had been playing. I think we needed a fresh change. And sure, you know, young guys struggle in the environment today. But unless they get that sort of experience, they're not going to mature in the players they can be. Like, this is the most painful time, don't get me wrong. But it's also the best learning time for a young team and young players. This is where they really learn about the game and learn what you've got to be at test level. You look at what Wales did today. They just continually put the ball in the air, chased hard, created penalties, one more try, one set piece try, one chip kick try, and it's a 40-point win. And you've got to be just be able to stick at the game and do the things you're good at, and we're not able to do that at the moment. You know, but these experiences are absolutely the most valuable. There's not a team I have in case that hasn't gone through this before at the start of their tenure. And it just happens to be quite a big environment to do it, which makes it not reasonably painful, very painful.
Eddie, do you have a second interview lined up with the JRF year?
I said I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Can you give Wallabies fans your absolute 100% commitment that you will not be coach of Japan next year?
I'm committed to coach Australia.
Next year?
I'm committed to coach Australia.
That doesn't sound very definitive, Eddie.
Thank you. Next question, please. We said one follow-up.
Dave, this morning a story was printed that was very well sourced about, as you've been hearing about, maybe Eddie joining Japan next season, next year. He's already said it's not going to happen. But I just wonder, from the point of view of your team, what kind of psychological impact did that have on you today? Did you talk about it at all? Did you know about it? I mean, I guess that's the kind of thing when your back's against the wall, you need to put in your ultimate performance. It can't have been helpful.
No, I don't think many of the boys were aware of anything, to be honest. We've had a good week prep, probably our best week of prep, and we didn't turn up tonight. So it's got nothing to do with the outside noise. It's just got to do with our performance. We weren't good enough.
I really take umbrage at the questioning, that people are questioning my commitment to coaching Australia. I really take umbrage at it. Yeah, I've been working non-stop since I've come here, and I apologise for the results. I keep saying that. But to doubt my commitment to the job, I think, is a bit red hot. So we're not going to deal with any of those questions any further. So I'm happy to talk about Wales. I'm happy to talk about Portugal. If you want to keep going down that line, I'll excuse myself.
OK, so delighted to be joined by Wales head coach to my left, Warren Gatland, and to his left, Captain Jack Morgan. If you could raise your hand for the first question, please. Yeah.
Warren, you said on Friday that you expected Wales to win today. Did you expect it to be with that record scoreline?
I thought it would be a close game. In fairness, we had a great week training in terms of preparation. Captain's run yesterday, the boys were extremely sharp. We made a couple of mistakes, and then I thought during the warm-up we looked sharp as well. So we've put a lot of work in the last 4 months as a team together, and we know that we're a momentum team. We build on confidence in terms of performances, and we felt, I think you saw yesterday with Portugal that, you know, they're not a bad side, and for last week, you know, considering the number of changes we made, and we felt we didn't get enough credit for the Fiji performance, you know, at 65 minutes or 67 minutes at 32-14, we felt we'd done the job and give away a yellow card and bring them back into the game, and everyone was talking about how unlucky Fiji were, so, you know, we kept that pretty much to ourselves, but I thought today was an outstanding performance in terms of what we wanted to achieve, game management. We were blown a bit at half-time, but we knew that they were worse than us as well. So, and I thought we just went out there and controlled the second half fantastically well.
Warren, what was the most pleasing aspect of that performance for you?
Oh, the fact that they didn't score any tries. I thought we spoke at half-time about some of our line speed. We didn't feel it was good enough to start with in terms of getting off the line. So that was a big focus for us at half-time, just making sure that we were a little bit more aggressive the first three or four steps. We definitely improved in the second half with that. I thought Gareth Davies did a fantastic job in sort of leading that aspect of the game. I thought our game management in terms of, you know, keeping the scoreboard ticking over, it was pretty close in the first 15-20 minutes, which all test matches are going to be because, you know, people don't lie down in that first period. And but we just grew into the game and got better. We've had a fantastic week in terms of the preparation, in terms of the clarity that we're trying to deliver to the players and the squad, I felt, and I spoke to the coaches during the week, and I said, you know, we could be a reasonable team going forward.
Hi, Warren, can I just check on Dan Bigger's injury? How is he, and what injury?
Yeah, Dan's got to stretch his pec, so we're not too sure. I haven't spoken to the medics, but I spoke to Dan, and they're saying it's probably a couple of weeks. So we've got 13 days break now between before we take on Georgia. So that potentially rules them out of maybe that match, just to recover. So, you know, it's not a significant injury, but it's just a peak strain.
Can I just ask a follow-up? You know, only a few months ago you had a team that was on the verge of going on strike and divided, in your own words. Can you just talk a bit about the job you've done to the turnaround and to get the team into the quarterfinals?
Look, there was a lot of things going on before the Six Nations, and then contract issues and players being offered, and for them, you know, just understanding the frustrations from them in terms of their security and future and families and stuff. And I fully understood that, and probably from, I didn't realise at the time the impact that had on the coaching staff, and probably even myself. I kind of went, I've just got to sit back and let things unfold, and you know, potentially wait until after the Six Nations, and then when you can get a squad together. And you know, we've been together nearly 4 months now. 4 months tomorrow, actually, when we first came into camp. And then, you know, you can put the detail and the preparation and the hard work, which we've always prided ourselves on, because, you know, we're such a small nation in terms of, you know, as a tier one nation in terms of our playing numbers. And, you know, we're proud of the fact that the success has been based on hard work and punching above our weight. And we get confidence from results like tonight and building momentum, and that makes us even more dangerous going forward. And so the guys have got, you know, 3 or 4 days off now, spend time with their loved ones and family, and then we assemble on Thursday again after they had a bit of a break, and you know, we start focusing and preparing for Georgia.
Coach Jacques Nienaber, and to his right, Captain Sia Khaleesi.
Thank you, Jacques. Sia, Jan de Koning, I think you all know me. Jacques, goal kicking now becomes a legitimate question.
Yeah, no, obviously, they were, hats off to Ireland, they were better than us on the day. And yes, I think we missed a couple of points off the tee. And but I won't say that's the reason solely for not getting across the line. I think we, in the first half alone, we lost two balls close to the try line, I think probably a metre off the try line, and we had another two opportunities later on in the game. So I think that four opportunities and the opportunities we have to get points off the tee is probably the reason why. But I won't say it's only goal kicking. But I know you guys will probably say that. But there was opportunities that we had, especially in that first half where we lost the ball underneath the poles. We had a great opportunity there. And then at the back end of the game, they lost more. I mean, we had a great opportunity there. But and again, that's why I say hats off to Ireland. They were better than us on the night. And no complaints in terms of their performance. Yeah.
My follow-up question, does this bring Pollard into the mix?
Yeah, that we'll have to sit down and discuss. I mean, there's lots of things that go into team selection. Probably get the medical status after 24 to 48 hours. We've got an 8-day turnaround. And then we'll go through our team selection process as per normal.
Jock, this is Nathan Kokela from South African media. You guys obviously chose a few of the fetchers on the bench with a 7-1 split. You guys lost 12 contacts in breakdown. So can you just comment on that?
Yes, I think that's the one area where Ireland were exceptional tonight. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why we didn't get momentum, is we were overpowered at our own attacking breakdown, and that's the opportunities we lost close to the try line. Yeah, 100% correct.
Jock, Hendrik from Rapport. How can you fix the problems at the breakdowns?
We'll just train harder and get better at it. We knew it was coming, Hendrik. It's something that they do regularly. So it's not something that we didn't know was coming. And we thought we obviously made some plans during the week that we thought would negate their tactics at the breakdown, their defensive breakdown. But obviously, it didn't work consistently. So, and that's probably the lessons we will take out of this game, as we will have to make new plans on how to deal with that better.
So, for you, Ireland's so good at the breakdown. Yourself being at the coalface of that, how are they different to other teams? Are they more accurate? Are they more intense? What are they doing that other teams aren't doing?
Yeah, I thought they were more accurate than us today, and they were a bit faster in the breakdown. But as Jacques said, we knew it was coming. Obviously, we were attacking so well, and we got to the 22 when we could have gained points. The opportunities that we lost were all through the breakdown. And obviously, that's us as players. We take full responsibility of that. We'll obviously, hopefully, meet them again. And obviously, we have to be better going next week against Tonga. But I thought they were a little bit quicker than us, and that's why they were able to get those opportunities.
Jack, what was the thinking behind taking so many long shots at goal when your lineout was working so well and you weren't kicking up goal so accurately all the time?
The kicking at goal is always, I think, in all teams. I mean, if your kicker is confident, then he can go for it. And the captain asks him, listen, are you confident? And he wants to take the kick at goal. He takes the kick at goal. And so it's as easy as that. Say, if they are confident that they can nail it, they go for it. Like Faf were confident from the halfway line. He was kicking it good in the warm-up. He unfortunately hit the post.
Jock, can the Bucks still win the World Cup from you?
Hendrik, we can still. I mean, in 2019, did you think we can win the World Cup when we lost against New Zealand? And obviously, you have to. We're in this competition to win it. And everybody's in this competition to win it. And teams that lose a game in the pool stages must work hard to get out of the pool. So definitely, we can still win it. I mean, we played against the number one team in the world. And we lost by 5 points. And we had an opportunity in the 79th minute to get a result. We didn't. And hats off to Ireland. They were better than us on the night. And that is the bottom line. They were better than us on the night. But if that's that's the number one team in the world, and we're the number two team in the world. So I think the margin is very small. And if we will have to work harder at the stuff that we weren't good at. And if we can fix that, and you always need a little bit of luck. If we can fix that and we have a little bit of luck, we can win the World Cup, yeah.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the second post-match press conference with the Irish team. To my right, we have coach Andy Farrell, and we have the captain, Johnny Sexton.
Hi, Michael Glennon, RT Sport. Andy, congratulations. Your team has risen to another challenge. What pleased you most about that victory tonight?
Our resilience, which has been really good of late anyway, as you could imagine, but that was a proper game, a traditional game that it had absolutely everything, and there was ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and how we managed to stay on point mentally, I thought was fantastic. The game was never going to be perfect. First half, I thought we had the rub of the green as far as field position is concerned, and probably didn't capitalise on that a little bit, but it was certainly roles reversed, wasn't it, in the second half. But how we kept our heads, getting those couple of penalties at the end when it really mattered, is the big plus side of our performance.
Congratulations, Andy. We know the Springboks are very strong in the set pieces. I just want to touch on the set pieces of lineouts and scrums. On the lineouts, you guys lost three early lineouts. In the scrums, you're losing two in the first half, and the second half, having three penalties. I mean, what are your thoughts on the set pieces, and are you pleased with today's performance, especially against the Springboks?
Well, again, that's the quality of the Springboks. That's the quality of the opposition that's got to be coming. The more that we're able to stay in this competition and keep moving on, but keeping ourselves on track mentally and staying at it was absolutely the key. And you know, I thought our discipline, certainly in the second half, was very good within the lineout. And you know, it was roles reversed, wasn't it, in regards to the penalty, the early engage from South Africa, and the penalty that we got on their line for us to keep the goal. So again, we stayed at it mentally, and rolled with the punches, as you say, but came out strong the other side as well.
Johnny, fly halves are always marked out for special treatment from back row forwards. It seemed like you had a lot of conversation with Peter Steftetoit today. How are you feeling, first of all, in terms of physicality? I saw you holding the shoulder once or twice. And how satisfying is it to come through a physical match like that and be able to walk off as a winner after you've received some extra attention?
Yeah, it was like Peter Steff's one of the best back rowers in the world, and he's made his presence known, of course. A few tackles were just passing the like on the line, and he hits me. It's probably fair. So there's a couple of them. Very physical game. Very different to the first two games we had, where I suppose the ball was in play a lot, and I'd say our running meters were probably higher. But today there was a lot more collisions, for and against. So very tough game. Just so proud of the lads to front up. A lot of mistakes. Just brushed them off and then went on to the next moment. And that was probably the most pleasing part. Everything we worked on in terms of that mentality was excellent tonight. So, look, plenty to work on, though, and make sure we get better for the next game.
Johnny, could you talk about the atmosphere and the level of Irish support and what it was like for you as a player today compared to all the other days you've had, outside of Ireland particularly?
I said that we've had some big days before in terms of results in the pools, but I've never, ever seen a crowd like that. Someone said 30,000 fans.
Yeah,
there was no way there was 30,000. It wouldn't surprise me if there was 60. And they were insane throughout. They gave us the lifts that we needed. And honestly, it's not lost on us. We talk about it a lot, about inspiring those people that put their hand in their pocket week after week. They probably saved for 4 years to come here. And there's something we refer to all the time. And I mean that we play for them, and they gave us the edge tonight, I think. So fair play to them.
And it isn't just them, Jerry. It's the people back home as well. We know that back home is being worked up into a frenzy, you know. And if that is the sign of things that we can get excited about going forward, then what a lift that's going to give us.
Johnny, I apologize if you've answered this in interviews many times, but if you have to say one factor of what changed Irish rugby from times that weren't as good as now, what would you say it is?
The people that are involved. Obviously, the guy sitting next to me, huge impact, and the people that he's brought in, the guys at the top, David Nusafora. There's too many people to name, but we're in a good place, but we can't get carried away, because every team, like tonight, they're lining you up when you're world number one. They'll use that as motivation, or when you're on an unbeaten run, they'll use it as motivation. We just need to keep our feet on the ground and keep striving for a better game, always a better game. And, teams will see that tonight and go, look, this is how we get after Ireland. And we just need to keep learning on the run. I think to go and win a World Cup, that's what you need to do. You need to keep learning on the run, week on week, and make sure that you're learning in victory as well.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. All I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.